Opening credits appear. Beneath an overcast sky, tall wheat stems sway in a gentle breeze. A woman in a white dress with her hair tied up slowly makes her way through the wheat. She stops and looks around with her hands on her hips.
Come on, this way.
The woman gazes around the field, then presses forward. She stops and looks to her side. Out of nowhere, a violent dust storm surrounds her.
Run! Mom, where are you? Help!
Now in bed, the woman gasps for air as she wakes suddenly. She quickly rolls over on her side and tries to catch her breath. Beside her bed, light shining through her curtains illuminates dust floating gently through the air. A title appears, Hold Your Breath. In a hallway, the woman pulls a key from the top of a door frame and unlocks a door. Inside, two girls in white nightgowns sleep peacefully in a twin bed. The woman watches one of the girls take a deep breath. Outside, a house and a barn sit in the middle of a barren field. Oklahoma Panhandle, 1933. Inside, the woman and her children pray at a table.
Dear Lord, we ask that you keep the storms at bay. Calm the dust. We thank you for bringing Henry this job. Preserve those who travel. Bring Henry in safety to his journey's end. Let him earn enough to finish our home. Plant a crop. Help me. Help me to see the gifts you've given me rather than the things you've taken away. Help me to keep Rose and Ollie healthy and safe. Don't let them fall ill like the other children.
In the barn, the mother milks a cow.
Rose, toss down some hay, sweetheart. Just a little. We have to make it last.
Rose, the older daughter, throws down hay from a hole in a loft.
Bruise me, bloody me, if it means you won't touch a hair on their heads.
At sunset, the mother smiles as she bathes her daughters in an outdoor tub. Rose smiles back at her. The mother looks over her shoulder. In silhouette, a headstone sits beside a leafless tree.
Please kiss Ada for me. Promise her that I will fend off my human proneness for evil so that we can be together again.
The headstone reads, Our daughter, Ada June Bellum.
All of us.
The mother pours water over Ada's headstone. Rose signs to her sister.
You remember?
Do you remember her?
And when I lie awake tonight, banish worry from my heart. Reward me with peaceful black sleep.
Ollie nods.
Amen.
In the girl's bedroom.
Oh, I asked your daddy to patch this. There's just never enough time.
The mother sits on the bed beside Rose, plugging a window.
You think he'll see Philadelphia?
No. It's too far east.
She strokes Rose's hair.
Well, I want to see it. I want to see what it's like.
The mother nods.
Maybe next summer. If the crops come in.
The mother goes to the door.
Lock this behind me.
The mother waits in the hallway by the door to the children's room, and Rose locks it. The mother disappears down the dark hallway.
Follow my finger as I read, okay?
In the children's room, Rose reads from a book with a chapter title reading, The Gray Man.
The gray man locked his lovely wife and five children in the bedroom, gathered embers from the fire. He aimed to burn the six angels up, but fate had one more victim in mind. As the flames leaped higher, the gray man realized his shirt was caught. It was no use. The flames consumed him. Now, during a dust storm, the gray man's ashes blow together, and he walks the night. If you don't wear your mask, you'll breathe him in, and he'll make you do terrible things.
Rose slams the book shut, and Ollie signs. Is the door locked? Lock him out. No, we can't lock him out. Why? Because he can come apart like dust and seep in through the cracks, and we could breathe him in. Ollie looks over her shoulder at a doll sitting atop a dresser leaning against a lamp. That's what happened to Mama. She breathed him in.
No,
Mama was upset about Ada, and she wasn't sleeping. In her room, the mother runs her fingers over dust accumulating on her vanity. She rubs her fingers together, then reaches for a rag and hurriedly wipes the dust away. Daytime, a bearded man stands by the window in her bedroom.
You could come with me.
The mother shakes her head.
I won't put them in a tent. Lose what little we have.
And I won't leave her out there. Alone.
She looks out the window at Ada's headstone. Clouds of dust blow past it. Nighttime. Alone in her room, the mother sits at her vanity. She wipes off her hands and unscrews a pill bottle. She pops one of the pills in her mouth and washes it down with a glass of water. She gently touches her hair and eyes her reflection. The mother's eye shoots open. From overhead, she and her daughters walk down a dusty, desolate road. The two girls wear cloths tied around their faces, and their mother holds a cloth over her mouth. Nearby, two children in masks stand by a horse lying dead next to a broken plow. One of the children holds a stick. The family approaches a small house. A dark-haired woman, a young man, and a boy stand on the porch. The two daughters go inside, and the mother follows. A mason jar on a shelf stands caked in dust. The mother sits at a table across from the dark-haired woman.
So, how'd Henry get off last week?
Well,
yeah.
There were quite a few heading out.
Last man standing.
The mother looks at her dusty hand.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
That's all right.
Just is so hard to keep up with.
The boy holds a mask over his face.
He's been at that all night. Is it that cold that was going around?
It started out like that, but it's just gotten worse. It's pneumonia, Dr. Cox says.
The mother turns her head.
Oh, it's not catching. Doctor says it's just too much dust in the air. What are we meant to do about that?
The mother forces a smile.
It's a battle.
At home, the mother sweeps dust across her floor with a broom. She beats her curtains with her hands and shakes them to get the dust off. She runs her hand along her sheets and dust-covered pillow. She looks down at her dust-covered fingertips, then shakes out the sheets. Nighttime. Wearing her nightgown, the mother sits at her vanity. She grabs the pill bottle and pops a pill into her mouth. She drinks water. The mother startles awake. Alone in her bedroom, she rubs her neck. She wrings out a cloth and spreads cream between Ollie's nose and upper lip, then ties the damp cloth over Ollie's nose and mouth. From overhead, the family walks along a dust-covered road. A church building sits amidst a dusty field. Inside, women embroider.
Thomas has been poorly. Well, they should go see that faith healer over in Guymon. He pulled the arthritis right out of an old man's fingers. Bones just straightened right out.
The mother embroiders.
It's good you brought the girls, Margaret.
Margaret, the mother, watches Ollie sign to Rose.
Why is that? I guess you haven't heard about Calabash.
The daddy said the door was locked.
But the drifter got into the house somehow.
He ransacked the pantry. They found him eating crackers over the baby.
No, Bertie. He'd already finished the crackers. He was just looking at the baby.
Well, he must have been hungry.
Hunger don't explain staring at a baby
just
like that.
Just staring.
And it certainly don't explain what he did after.
The women stop embroidering and turn to an older woman.
He tied the daddy up and made him watch while he killed the mama and the kids.
Gutted like hogs.
Rose turns.
Can't keep up with chores as it is. I'm supposed to watch out for fiends, too.
You keep your guard up. Always.
Did they ever catch him? The Drifter?
No, not yet, and I can't figure it. Nobody saw him leave. It's like he just melted into the dust.
A strong wind causes a shutter to slam against a window pane. Blood spreads across a house in Margaret's embroidery.
Goodness.
Outside, Margaret and the girls press their way through strong winds and dust. The girls wear face coverings while Margaret does not. Outside the dark-haired woman's house, Rose and the young man tend to a horse and cart. Rose steps into the doorway and listens in.
You're not leaving today.
John, do you?
The wind is terrible. There must be a storm coming.
There's always a storm coming.
But people die in them, and you'll be exposed on that cart, Esther, unprotected. All you need to do is make sure Thomas and Jacob stay inside. Clean. Seal the house.
Oh, even so, it seeps through everything. Keep finding it in the oddest places.
She opens a jar.
I had a dream last night. He would not stop coughing.
I took a handkerchief and I stuffed it in his mouth. Over and over and over.
Margaret covers Esther's cup of milk with a saucer, and Esther presses her fingers on the saucer.
Sorry.
Margaret shakes her head.
I just gotta get my boys out of here.
Esther goes to her younger son's bedside. Outside, Margaret stands on Esther's porch as strong winds carry dust. Esther's older son comforts their horse. Wind rattles a wire stretching across a wooden fence made of sticks. At sunset, Margaret carries Ollie in her arms as she and Rose run down a dirt road. Ollie stares over her mother's shoulder at a massive cloud of dust blocking out the sky behind them. Margaret and Rose run toward their house. On the barn roof, a weather vane obscured by thick clouds of dust spins in circles. Margaret ties a rope around the handles of the barn doors. Rose boards up the shutters on the side of the house. She stumbles and leans on the house for support as she makes her way to another window. Margaret uncoils a rope tied to the front doorknob and holds it as she moves through the storm.
Girls, grab the twine or you'll get lost in the dust!
Where's Ollie? I can't see her!
Swirling dust surrounds Margaret as she searches. Wearing a cloth over her nose and mouth, Ollie runs along the side of the house. The dense dust blowing in front of the porch briefly reveals a dark figure standing close by. The figure disappears and Ollie runs off. On the other side of the house, Margaret and Rose search frantically for Ollie. They run toward the house. Margaret opens a closet door, revealing Ollie cowering inside. She rubs Ollie's shoulder and Ollie signs to her. I want Daddy.
I know.
Where is he anyway?
Where is he anyway?
Building a bridge.
Yes. I have an idea.
Margaret uses a knife to carve a line into the closet's door.
One notch
for each day Daddy is gone.
Each day Daddy is gone.
She nods, and Ollie nods back. What scared you? The man. Outside. Ollie points.
What, ma'am?
Margaret looks to Rose, then leaves the room.
Stay here.
Mom, don't go out there!
Ollie trembles in a closet. Outside, Margaret walks around, carrying a rope and a shotgun as thick dust obscures the area. The wind whips at the back of the cloth tied around her face. Margaret looks over at the barn and moves toward it while dust swirls around her. Later, in the girl's room, Margaret holds Rose's book.
The Gray Man. You scared her with this, Rose.
She shuts it.
Didn't I tell you to get rid of this?
Yeah.
Margaret eyes a curtain covering a window.
This should help with the dust, okay?
She smooths out the curtain.
What about that man?
Margaret sits back down on the bed.
That Drifter that disappeared.
There isn't anyone.
Understand?
Ollie rolls over. Margaret smiles at her and points to the book. This? It's not real.
It's not real.
Ollie shakes her head.
Yes.
Yes. Like a dream during the day.
Dream. During the day. I'm taking this.
Margaret looks up as strong winds rattle the ceiling.
Will you tell us about the wheat?
Margaret's expression softens as she glances from Rose to Ollie. She looks down for a moment, then runs her hands through her long hair.
The first year we planted, it just took hold.
Rose makes shadows on the wall by moving her hand by a lamp on the nightstand. Ollie rolls over to watch.
When the wind blew, the wheat would wave, like the ocean.
Stalks of wheat sway in the breeze.
One day we played hide and seek in the tall grass for hours.
Rose carries a toddler as Ollie chases her through the grass.
You could hide inches away, and I couldn't see you. But I could always hear you giggling. It was perfect.
Storm clouds hover above the wheat field. Margaret pulls the blanket up around a sleeping Ollie and gives Rose a kiss. Holding a lamp, Margaret steps into the dark hallway. She looks through a sheer curtain at the swirling dust storm raging outside. She shuts Rose's book and stuffs it in her vanity drawer. She takes a pill from the bottle and puts it in her mouth. Margaret drinks water and gently touches her neck. She looks up at her reflection.
Mom, wake up!
What?
What happened? Ollie was right. Someone's outside.
Margaret hurries into the children's room. Rose puts an arm around Ollie and pulls her close.
See?
Margaret rips down the curtain she placed. A sliver of light glows between the window's shutters. Margaret pushes the remaining curtain aside and peers into the sunlight as specks of dust float in the air. A strong wind slams the shutters and Margaret recoils.
Wait here.
Piles of dust cover the front porch. Margaret struggles to push open the door. Clutching her shotgun, she steps outside in her white nightgown. Margaret spins around and spots the untied barn doors. One of the doors sits ajar. Holding her shotgun at the ready, Margaret inches toward the barn. Blood stains one of the door handles. Margaret touches the blood and finds it still wet. She raises her shotgun as she steps into the dark barn. Margaret turns in the direction of the sound and moves deeper into the barn. She stops in her tracks as she notices a moving figure outside blocking out the light between gaps in the barn's wooden walls. Margaret follows the figure with her gun. She steps closer to a set of barn doors. The figure moves just outside. With her thumb trembling, Margaret cocks the shotgun. She kicks open the door. Esther's horse stands outside. Margaret lowers her shotgun. Now wind rustles barbed wire on a wooden fence. Esther's cart sits overturned, not far from her house. The bottom half of a body lies partially buried in the dust. A group of people stand around the body. Margaret leads Esther's horse over and stops a short distance from the group. Blood stains the horse's mouth. Margaret hurries over to the others. A man in a hat uses clippers to cut some of the wire the body's hand is attached to. Margaret stares at the body.
It's Jacob.
Esther's boy.
The cart must have gotten overturned in the storm last night.
Where's Esther?
I don't know. Found Thomas hiding under the cart alone. So scared I could barely get him to come out. Probably left him there when she went to go look for Jacob.
The man in the hat reaches for Jacob's lifeless body. He starts to lift him up, revealing his other hand tightly holding the hand of someone under a coat lying next to him. Gaping, the man sets Jacob's body back down. Margaret sinks to her knees. Her hand trembles as she reaches for the coat. She pulls it off, revealing Esther covered in dust. Margaret covers her mouth with her hands. Esther spits up dust as she shoots up from the ground, and Margaret pats her back. Wearing a stoic expression, Margaret stands in Esther's doorway holding a broom. She sweeps the floor. Tears staining her cheeks, Esther clutches Thomas as other women sit and stand around her.
But he's a wise provider. All you can do is hold faith.
Faith that he has a plan for Jacob. A plan more important than we may ever understand.
I guess some things are just out of our hands.
Some things aren't.
The women look at Margaret.
You can't just have faith that he'll do something. That it's part of the plan, or they'll die. We'll all be buried.
Sounds like pride to me.
Better than burying another child.
I tried to leave.
In a storm.
I can't change the weather, Margaret. I can't make it rain. What should I do?
You might try sweeping.
Margaret glares at Esther, who stares back with tears in her eyes. She turns back to Thomas lying in her arms, and Margaret resumes sweeping dust out of the house. At a small fenced-in graveyard beside the church, the residents watch as a gravedigger piles dirt on top of Jacob's body. With her arms around her children, Margaret watches with her eyes glued to the grave. Thomas coughs into his mother's stomach as she wraps her arms tightly around him. Margaret tightens her grip on Rose's shoulder. Ollie leans her head on her mother's side as the family looks on. Inside, a bearded doctor with a cigarette in his mouth moves a stethoscope across Rose's bare back. Rose takes deep breaths as Margaret watches tensely.
Fit as a couple of fiddles.
It just started bleeding. It wouldn't stop.
Huh? Hair is dry. That'd be my guess.
Your guess?
Rose and Ollie step outside of the examination room. The doctor sighs and lowers his gaze.
After Ollie and Ada, I worry. Ada used to have nosebleeds just like this.
The doctor nods.
Esther mentioned something about the dust making Thomas ill. The air.
The doctor takes a drag of his cigarette and puts it out in an ashtray.
I got some masks for sale. Might help. You're taking your sleeping aid?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you want my advice? I say keep the house sealed best you can. Wear the masks. Relax.
At home, Margaret rips pieces of fabric and stuffs them between cracks in the walls, gradually blocking out the light. At night, Margaret runs her finger along the nightstand next to the children's bed, which is caked in dust. Rose awakens.
Mom, are you awake?
Margaret pushes the girl's bed down the hallway. In Margaret's room, the two beds sit beside each other. She tears fabric and stuffs it into the wall.
We're not even supposed to sleep in the same room as you.
There was only enough fabric to seal one room.
What if it happens again? What if you stop sleeping?
Margaret turns sharply to Rose.
Don't you understand that the dust seeps through every opening? That's why your cousin Thomas is sick. And it's why your nose is bleeding.
Well, I want to leave. I want to go to Dad. Well, when your father sends more money, we'll take the next train. I promise.
Now, Ollie uses the knife to carve another notch into the closet door, which now has two rows of notches carved into it. Outside, Rose and Ollie wear masks around their noses and mouths as they walk alongside Margaret, who doesn't wear one. At the church, Margaret sits in the embroidery circle.
Has anyone had any mail? We're going to try to leave when Henry's next letter arrives.
Well, I guess you hadn't heard. Service has been halted indefinitely. Dust built up so much, a train in Woodward skipped plumb off the tracks. Killed every soul on board, except for one donkey in the freight car.
Stuck with us, looks like.
I see.
Margaret looks through the window at her daughters twirling and dancing outside.
Any word on that drifter?
Well, now they're wondering if the daddy did it himself. Killed those kids and made up the intruder wholesale. Our neighbor said he'd been acting off right before. Like a different man entirely. Think about it. No one saw that drifter coming or going.
Margaret opens a window and pulls a shutter closed. Now, she runs her fingers over the first page of the Gray Man story and the illustration of the ghoulish dark figure. She closes her eyes. Across the room, Rose stands in front of a wardrobe getting ready for bed. She turns to her mother sitting at her vanity. A few pills lie at the bottom of Margaret's pill bottle. She forces a smile at Rose.
Put your nightgown on, sweetheart.
Rose briefly returns the smile, and Margaret quickly grabs her pill bottle. Rose puts on her nightgown, covering her face as her mother moves the pill toward her mouth. Margaret gulps down water and gently touches the back of her neck. Her blurry reflection in the mirror locks eyes with her daughter. In the morning, Ollie and Rose sleep in bed. Rose stirs and opens her eyes. In a hallway, Margaret sweeps, pushing dust toward the front door. She pulls a sheet off a bed. Outside, she scrubs laundry against a washboard. White sheets hang on a line behind her. She stops and gently touches her forehead. Margaret looks over one of the white sheets and pulls it off the line. She looks up and notices her cow standing across from her outside the barn. Later, by the barn.
Didn't I ask you to tie the doors?
I did.
That cow is keeping us alive. She's already starving and something could have gotten her. She could have died.
I tied it.
Well, then it has to be tighter. What?
The Gray Man hurt the cow.
Stop. No more. Gray Man. Understand?
Ollie turns to Rose, who exchanges a glance with her mother. Margaret looks away from her children.
You need to finish your chores.
Margaret nods to Rose, who walks away. In the barn, a single drop of milk falls into the bottom of Margaret's bucket as she milks the cow. Margaret lets go of the cow's udders and brings her hand to her forehead. She looks down at the empty bucket. Small pieces of hay fall down from the loft. Margaret looks up and notices movement upstairs.
Rose? Toss down some hay, would you?
Margaret stands and heads upstairs.
I'm sorry we argued, but...
She stops near the top of the stairs and takes in the empty loft. Margaret steps up into the loft and looks around. She pushes open one of the hay doors and spies her two children walking together in the distance. Margaret rapidly turns, and the darkness of the unlit loft blankets her face. She moves through the loft and runs outside. Margaret looks up at the wind whipping the weather vane on top of the barn.
Rose!
In Margaret's room, she signs to Ollie.
In the barn.
In the barn.
Who did you see?
Ollie grabs the book off her mother's vanity and gives it to her. I told you, the gray man.
But I thought you said he wasn't real.
That doesn't mean no one's helping.
Ollie grabs her mother's arm. Margaret grabs her shotgun and signs to Ollie.
Stay.
Outside, dust clouds whip across the plains. Margaret slowly climbs the stairs up to the barn loft.
Come out, or I will burn this whole thing to the ground, I swear to God.
She scans both sides of the loft as she slowly makes her way through it. She inches closer to the hay doors, then pushes one of them open. She spins around to find her daughter standing behind her.
I told you to stay downstairs.
We're scared.
Something creaks beneath Ollie's feet. Ollie gestures to the wooden boards below her.
Stay back, girls.
The girls hurry to Margaret as someone emerges from a hiding spot under the boards. Margaret aims her shotgun, and Ollie cowers as Rose holds her close.
Who are you?
The man straightens up.
Name's Brother Wallace Grady. I mean you no harm, ma'am. Just needed shelter. Henry told me y'all had this barn.
Henry?
Don't you recognize his jacket?
Did you hurt him?
Of course not, ma'am. I'm a man of the cloth. I stopped through the works detail on my way west, and Brother Henry, he gave me this. And he asked me to check in on y'all.
Why not just knock on the door?
That was my intention, ma'am. As soon as I had a chance to recover. See, I got caught in that storm on account of my bad leg. Thought I looked too poorly. I didn't want to scare your girls. Scare you.
Ollie clings to Rose.
Rose, right? And you're Margaret.
Wallace smiles. Margaret shuts her eyes and shakes her head.
Henry would have told me.
The mail is slow going with the trains out.
Margaret keeps her gun raised.
You have to go. Now.
I could earn my keep. People need the word of God these days.
People need rain.
One follows the other, ma'am.
Just get out! Out!
Wallace turns away from Margaret and the girls.
It's just your cow's starving. Which means you're about to be. Right?
Margaret glares at him.
The milk's dried up. I could get her producing again.
Okay. It's okay. It's okay.
Darling.
Blood gushes from Rose's nose.
Mom, help!
Breathe. Breathe. Stay back.
Ma'am, I can help. But I'd have to touch her.
Why?
I lay hands. I can heal. Truly. Even if you don't believe, what could it hurt?
Margaret keeps the shotgun aimed at Wallace as he inches toward her and the girls.
Margaret.
She cocks the shotgun. Blood continues to pour from Rose's nose. Wallace inches toward her with a stoic expression on his face. Wallace draws closer to Rose and places a hand on the back of her head. He presses his forehead against hers and puts his other hand over her face with his fingers spread. Rose's body tenses, and Margaret aims at Wallace's head.
Let her go.
Wallace presses hard against Rose's head.
Let her go!
Wallace releases her and drops to the floor.
What did you do to her?
Margaret crouches beside Rose.
Mom. It stopped.
Margaret turns to Wallace. With her gun raised, she slowly approaches him as he lies on his stomach.
Hugo. I just gotta rest.
Margaret keeps her eyes locked on Wallace.
You said you could get our cow producing. How?
Wallace glances up at her from the corner of his eye. At night, he soaks tumbleweed in a barrel of water, snapping the twisted sticks with his hands.
Tumbleweeds will soak this water right up. Yield a lot of feed.
Margaret stands by the barn doors. She points her gun at Wallace, holding it with one hand and clutching her wrap with the other. She nods.
I sleep with this, and I know how to use it.
Do you understand?
Wallace nods.
People will talk if I let you stay.
I could keep out of sight for a bit. Stick to the barn.
Margaret nods. She leaves. Wallace watches as she closes the barn door behind her. Inside, a chair sits propped against the door of Margaret's room. Rose lies in her mother's lap.
Did he heal me?
I don't know.
Margaret strokes Rose's hair, and a smile spreads across Rose's face. Margaret looks over at Ollie sleeping peacefully beside them. Margaret shuts her eyes. Tall wheat plants sway in the breeze. Margaret awakens with a start to find her children gone and the door open.
Rose!
She quickly opens the front door, then stares in awe at rain falling from the sky. Margaret holds her hands outside the doorway, letting the raindrops pour down on them. Smiling, Rose and Ollie lead their mother outside. Margaret beams as the three of them step out into the shower. Holding hands, Ollie and Rose dance happily in a circle. Margaret smiles as the rain cascades over her face and hair. Ollie and Rose hold out teacups to catch the rain in. Margaret notices Wallace standing in the near distance, his arms raised to the sky, and his fingers outstretched. Wallace gradually lowers his hands and locks eyes with Margaret. Margaret briefly returns his gaze, then turns her focus back to the falling rain. She shuts her eyes and smiles as she lifts her head. Drops of water drip from the roof of the house. At sunset, dust blows across the horizon as two silhouetted figures run. At the church, Margaret works on her embroidery, which depicts rain falling on her house and green plants growing in the front yard. She grins to herself.
Well, I hate you, Margaret. What a fine hand you have.
Oh, it's just our dream for the house. Missed you in church this week, Margaret. We were worried about you.
Mom, it's Thomas.
Outside, Thomas walks with a bucket, wearing his makeshift face mask and underwear.
Where's Esther? How'd he get here by himself?
Oh, Bertie, go fetch the sheriff.
Margaret talks to the sheriff outside Esther's house. Margaret enters the house, spotting Esther lying in bed.
Esther. It's Margaret. Esther?
Margaret steps to Esther's bedside. Esther lies on her side, staring off in the other direction. Margaret takes a seat beside her and regards her with a warm gaze.
Remember when Ada passed? For a long while, I thought I might just join her. But you have to think of your other child, his health.
Esther looks up.
The man has been looking after him.
Esther smiles.
Or was that a dream?
Margaret notices dirty dishes and cups sitting on a bed across from them. She reaches behind her and takes a mug from a shelf. She looks inside it, then hands it to Esther.
Have some water. Just a sip.
Esther slowly sits up and takes the mug.
How long have you been lying here?
Gaping sores cover Esther's back. Outside, Rose and Ollie wait in a car. Rose watches as Margaret exits the house, approaches the sheriff standing beside Thomas, and shakes her head.
She's not fit.
You sure?
I'd take him, but we can't feed him.
The sheriff picks Thomas up and carries him toward the car. Esther rushes out and throws her arms around Margaret as the open back of her dress reveals unsightly sores.
Margaret!
Thank you. Thank you for visiting me.
It's all right. You just have to take care of yourself.
What's going on?
Just for a little while, Esther.
What's for a little while?
Just until you get back on your feet.
Margaret starts walking away.
Are you taking him?
The sheriff stops Esther from following Margaret. Margaret gets in the car and covers her mouth.
My son! He's all I got left! You're no different than me at all, you know that? You're no different than me!
Margaret puts a hand to her head.
You'll be just like me! You hear me? I'll show you what it's like! Look at me! You'll be just like me!
Rose watches her through the rear window as the car drives away.
You'll be sorry! Don't take him from me!
Leaning on a doorframe outside her house, Margaret steadies herself. She steps inside, picks up a bucket, and heads back out. In the barn, she opens a Bible with a crucifix stuck between the pages.
Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience.
Margaret takes the crucifix out of the Bible and looks at Wallace.
It's lovely. Yours?
It's my mother's.
Wallace smiles at her.
Is she how you got into the church?
Partly. My daddy was a preacher. Told me I had the touch young. All my siblings do. I have four sisters.
Where are they now?
Touring Texas, and Scarlet Fever took the others while I was off spreading the word.
Margaret glances out the window and picks up her bucket. She walks by Wallace, who keeps his gaze lowered as she passes. Margaret closes the pen door behind her. She stops and sets down her bucket.
Ollie had it. Scarlet Fever. And Ada.
Wallace holds his Bible to his chest.
When they went into quarantine, Ada never stopped calling out for me. I clawed the door separating us until my nails were ripped away from the quick.
Temporary parting's a burden of our earthly lives. But there's a reunion that lasts an eternity. You believe that?
I have to. Don't have a choice.
These girls are lucky to have you.
Wallace turns from the window to Margaret. She smiles and nods, then lowers her gaze.
You don't think that?
Margaret shakes her head, avoiding eye contact with Wallace.
After Ada, my sleep was fitful. And I do things.
The children run to the open barn doors.
No mail today. But the letter carrier said a haze is dropping in.
At night, thick dust almost entirely obscures Margaret's house. The wooden home grows larger as it draws closer. Inside, Wallace and the family sit around the table holding hands.
God above, I thank you. I thank you for the warmth of the Bellum family. You connected us through Brother Henry, and for that I am eternally grateful. Thank you for Rose's continued health. And we ask that you hold little Ollie in your ever-loving light.
Ollie makes a face.
I'm reminded of a verse that my father taught me. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Thank you for this nourishment.
And thank you for this.
This came today?
Ooh, mm-hmm. Is that from Daddy? Mm-mm. What's he got?
Next
to
one,
say?
Little.
Stop!
Rose.
Margaret shakes her head sternly at Rose. Wallace looks from Margaret to Ollie, then scoots back and gestures for Ollie to sit on his lap. Ollie sits on his lap and Rose reads the letter.
Dear girls, my first hope is that you can
decipher.
Mm-hmm. Decipher my mm-hmm. chicken scratch. My second hope is that these blades of grass will still be green by the time they reach you. Mm. Just know that when I picked them, they were the brightest thing you ever saw. This next bit's just for Mama, girls.
Oh. Come on.
Beaming, Margaret takes the letter from Rose. Wallace ties a piece of dried grass around Ollie's wrist. Margaret's expression shifts to a concerned look as she reads. She stands. Ollie looks up at her mother, and Margaret signs something to Rose.
You got some secrets over there?
Now, Rose.
Rose quickly gets up.
Put her down.
Rose hurries back and gives Margaret the shotgun.
Seems like a bad idea.
Who are you? Rose, read the letter. Aloud.
I'm fine, Margaret, but my jacket was took, along with the letter in its pocket, money and sweets for the girls. There was a preacher hanging about, asked to stay the night. Next day, my bunkmate didn't come back from lunch. Found him with his head cracked open like an egg, boots pulled off his feet. Nobody knows how the preacher made off, like he just vanished.
Wallace keeps his gaze down with his hands gripping Ollie's shoulders.
I wouldn't have hurt y'all.
Where's the money?
Gone. Where's yours?
Gone. Let her go.
I will. In exchange for that letter.
We better hold on to it. See what the sheriff thinks.
Grinning, Wallace turns to Ollie and gently strokes her face. Margaret points to her eyes while locking eyes with Ollie. Ollie stares back at her mother. Margaret counts to three with the fingers of her hand gripping the gun's barrel. Margaret shoots over Wallace's head, and Ollie hides behind her family. Wallace snatches the letter from Rose.
Y'all would have starved without me.
Without you. His first letter would have gotten to us. We could have left.
Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware.
Angels?
I fixed her, didn't I? How about I undo it? Put her back the way she was.
Fixed her. You're a con. Your father, the preacher, a con too.
My father. He'd like you.
Get up.
Wallace doesn't move.
Get out!
Wallace stares coldly at the family. He calmly takes a seat at the table and takes the glass covering off a burning oil lamp.
I'd be scared too. You're out here all alone. Don't know when a man could come by,
Wallace burns the letter.
A few locks, some twine. That's not gonna stop me. That's not gonna stop the gray man.
Margaret's eyes go wide. Wallace scratches his upper lip as he stares up at her. Wallace stands. Sneering, he heads for the door.
I'll be seeing y'all.
He opens the door and lumbers out into the dusty darkness. Rose pulls Ollie close. Aiming the shotgun at Wallace, Margaret paces toward the open door. She lowers the gun as she steps into the doorway. She pulls the door closed and heaves as she catches her breath. Behind her, the two sisters hold each other tightly. Now, Margaret's pill bottle sits on her vanity. Margaret apprehensively puts one of the round white pills in her mouth. Rose sleeps in bed with her arm around Ollie. Margaret shuts her eyes for a moment. She spits the pill back into her hand. Outside, Margaret stands not far from her house holding her shotgun. A lantern sitting on the ground provides the only light in the pitch-black darkness. Dust clouds blanket the ground, appearing like fog. The light from the lantern glows on Margaret's face as she stares into the night. Margaret turns her head away from the light and looks toward the barn. Lantern in hand, she paces toward the barn's wide-open wooden doors. The lantern's weak light illuminates Margaret's face and white dress as the rest of the barn remains shrouded in darkness as she presses forward. Margaret's eyes widen as the light reveals something in front of her. Her cow stares back at her.
Mommy.
The silhouette of a little girl stands in the doorway. Margaret raises her lantern as she steps toward the child.
Ollie. Did you say that?
Margaret sets the lantern on the ground. A dark figure slinks up behind Ollie. Margaret aims her gun, with her head tilted forward and her eyes staring up at Margaret. Esther stops behind Ollie.
What are you doing, Esther?
You'll be just like me. You'll see. You'll breathe him in. He'll make you do terrible things.
Esther swings an axe at Ollie's neck. Daytime, Margaret stands outside with Rose. Margaret still holds the shotgun. Confused, she reaches for Rose's hand.
Were you outside all night?
In the evening, the weather vane spins on the roof of the barn. In an instant, night falls. Inside, Margaret runs her fingers over the first page of the Gray Man story, and the words seeps through the cracks, you'll breathe him in, do terrible things. She looks over at the fabric stuffed between the cracks of her walls and notices a small uncovered spot. Sitting at her vanity, she stares into the small opening in the wall. Margaret looks down at her feet and drags her toes through the dust that has accumulated beneath them. Holding her lantern, Margaret walks down the hall. She runs her hand over the blanket covering her daughters, checking for dust. Outside, darkness and dust clouds obscure the back door and window. In the house, wooden kitchen chairs lie chaotically stacked against the back door. Margaret sits in a chair, staring ahead. She looks up and notices dust falling through cracks in the ceiling. Visibly exhausted, Margaret struggles to stay alert.
Margaret.
The chairs by the door are no longer there. Margaret checks the door and finds it locked. She looks over her shoulder and hurries to the hall. She checks on her daughters, who sleep soundly in bed. Margaret shuts the door and heads back down the hall, checking to make sure another door is locked.
Mom! Get out!
She races back to the children and finds the room locked.
Open the door! Unlock it, please! Is he in there?
Get us out!
Margaret finds the key on the door frame. She opens the door and finds one of the beds on fire.
Get out of here!
Margaret hurries the children out of the room, then dumps a bucket of water on the bed, putting out the flames. Her shoulders move up and down as she heaves. A lamp on the nightstand lies on its side.
Did you knock the lamp over?
No. It's Wallace. How's he doing it?
I was up the whole night.
Rose watches her mother pace down the hall.
And the doors are still locked.
Unless he doesn't have to use doors.
What do you mean?
Margaret looks at the ceiling of her bedroom and covers her hand with her mouth.
I should have sealed under this door.
Mom, but the gray man is just the story. Like you said. I lent Wallace the book one day.
Margaret spins sharply toward Rose, then approaches her. She puts her hands on Rose's face.
But he healed you. Right?
And he came into a locked house while I stood watch. That is what he wants. Go get your sister. Slide fabric under the door. And don't come out.
Margaret creaks open the front door to a smiling Esther standing outside.
Hi.
You're looking well.
What are you doing here?
I've come to apologize, Margaret. The things that I was thinking and the things I said, I'm sorry. Our family. Can we put this all behind us and just start fresh? I miss you. I miss the girls. And, well, folks are starting to worry. I haven't seen you in a while.
Grinning, Margaret opens the door for Esther. Her smile fades as she shuts the door behind Esther. In Margaret's dark kitchen, the two of them work on their embroidery.
Difficult with such low light.
It's much easier to breathe, though.
Margaret notices tiny dust particles floating in the air in a patch of sunlight.
I wonder if it might help to get out more. It's wild what happens upstairs when you're allowed to stew. Might be good to take the lid off and let some of that steam out. You know, I've been trying to get out more, too. I've been working with a preacher, praying to get my head right. Been visiting Thomas.
Margaret looks over her shoulder at more dust in the air.
Margaret?
She whips her head back to Esther.
You might could start with the dance tonight. Take it from me. You don't want people speculating the way they have been. You might want to show them you're okay.
Oh, you're right. We really should get out more.
Yeah.
Margaret's secluded house and barn sit amid rolling clouds of dust. Inside, Ollie strokes a cat in a white garment. Margaret helps Rose with a dress.
We're really going to the dance?
Esther said people were worried about us, so we have to put on a good face and go.
Well, Sheriff Bo will be there. We could tell him about Wallace. What's been happening?
Margaret takes her hand.
Without the letter from your father,
If the sheriff thought something was wrong, he could take you both. Promise me you won't mention it.
Margaret kisses her hand. Rose turns away from her mother, then smiles at her reflection in a full-length mirror.
It's so pretty.
Oh, I think it's the wearer.
Margaret strokes her daughter's arm and smiles. The cat scurries into the hall. Ollie chases after it, and Rose follows.
Stay inside!
Margaret glances at her reflection in the mirror. She adjusts her dress collar and pats her neck, then forces a smile.
We're very well. You?
Margaret bolts into the hallway.
Rose! I can't breathe!
Margaret hurriedly tears the back of Rose's dress.
Mommy! Mom, stop! What is wrong with you? You were crying out. You were choking. You couldn't breathe.
No, I was laughing.
Clutching the cat, Ollie breathes heavily as she stares at her mother. Margaret looks at dust floating through the air. Sitting on the bed, Rose holds her torn dress.
It's ruined.
Sitting at her vanity, Margaret faces away from Rose.
I don't think we should still go.
You'll still look perfect.
It's not just the dress.
Margaret eyes her reflection, then turns to her vanity drawers. She takes out her knife and cuts her thigh.
What are you? Stop!
It's all right, Rose. Daddy will be home soon and we'll sort everything out.
She dabs blood on her face.
Until then, we just need to go and show everyone we're okay.
Rose stares in horror at her mother. Now, the three of them enter the dance. Ollie takes Rose's hand and leads her across the room. Two twin girls in white-colored patterned dresses dance together. Margaret gazes across the room with a look of concern. A man whispers something into a woman's ear. Margaret spots Rose speaking with Sheriff Bell across the room. Birdie and the older woman stand in front of Margaret.
Yeah, look, red as rain, Margaret.
We're feeling much better.
Thank you. Excuse me.
Margaret goes to Sheriff Bell.
Yeah, that's right.
Margaret!
She shoots Rose a quick glare.
Would you care to go for a spin?
Rose hurries away, and Margaret nods to Birdie.
Happy to.
Margaret and Sheriff Bell dance together.
So? How's things?
Oh, we had a little bug, but we're feeling much better.
Glad to hear it. Have you been getting enough rest lately?
Why? What did Rose say?
What do you mean?
Oh, nothing. She's been having nightmares lately. Oh.
Margaret and Rose make eye contact as Rose spins in a circle holding hands with other children.
Margaret.
What?
Sheriff Bell looks down. Rose's smile fades as she stops dancing and everyone looks over. A stain of fresh blood appears on Margaret's white dress.
Oh, goodness. It's just a cut. It's just my leg. Please keep playing.
Ollie hurries over to Rose and Margaret heads for the door.
Sorry. Pardon me.
She stops in her tracks as Esther enters, arm in arm with Wallace. Rose stares at her frozen mother with a confused look.
What are you doing with him?
A different man stands beside Esther.
With Reverend Shaw?
Margaret's face falls as she stares at the two of them.
Excuse me. I didn't want the girls to miss the dance.
But this cut has me a little lightheaded.
Margaret.
Esther steps toward her.
Why don't I stop by later with that healer that I mentioned?
Healer?
Yeah.
You mean Wallace?
No. His name is Everett Lee. He's real nice. He got me thinking right again, and he even helps me keep up the house, and he got me this.
She wears Wallace's crucifix around her neck.
I don't care what he's calling himself. That is the man who was hiding in our loft, Sheriff. Who threatened us?
Margaret. That can't be.
You are housing a murderer. And they sent me a letter. Your healer killed the man and his...
No, she's telling the truth. I saw him too. And he threatened to come back.
You see? He's not of this world. He's been sneaking into our house, moving things at night, trying to hurt the girls. He can get through locks, closed windows. He comes apart like dust. He seeps in through the rain.
Please, come on.
You can breathe him in. He'll make you do terrible things.
Margaret shakes her head. Rose leads her mother out, and Ollie follows behind them. Sheriff Bell watches them leave with lowered brows. The three of them make their way through a dense covering of dust. At home, Margaret sews by lamplight.
They're gossiping right about now. Wondering if I'm... If I...
But I said I saw him too.
It doesn't matter. They saw me like this.
Margaret looks away from her sewing and accidentally puts her needle through her hand. Rose stands with wide eyes and moves toward her.
Mom?
Completely unaware, Margaret pulls the thread through her skin.
Mom!
Rose puts a hand on her mother's shoulder, and she returns to her senses. She looks down and sees blood trickling down from her hand.
Who did that?
Rose takes scissors from her mother's sewing basket.
You did.
When?
Rose cuts the threads running through Margaret's skin. Margaret looks up at her with a frightened look.
Was he in me?
Rose crouches and uses a cloth to wipe Margaret's blood off her leg. Margaret puts a hand on her daughter's cheek, then strokes her hair. Rose shakes her head. Margaret grabs her gun.
Wait!
You heard that, right?
Two lamps glow next to the front door.
But what if it's someone checking on us?
Put your masks on. Slide fabric under the door the moment I leave.
Margaret stands by the front door, her gun raised. She opens the door and points her gun out into the dusty outside. She slowly steps out of the house. Thick gray dust obscures Margaret's view as she steps off the porch. Barely visible, she moves forward, clutching her gun. She turns.
Wallace!
Behind you!
Someone puts a hand on Margaret's shoulder. She turns around and shoots a shadowy figure. Margaret falters and Rose hurries out onto the porch.
What happened? Was it Wallace?
Rose wears her mask.
Yes, but he vanished!
What do you mean?
Like the book! He's in the air, Rose! He could be anywhere!
Rose looks around frantically.
Get inside! Now!
Rose hurries back inside and stuffs Fabric under the door to her mother's room. Margaret swings around with her shotgun raised. She walks forward and gradually moves out of sight. The dust briefly clears. Someone creeps toward Margaret's house. Wearing her mask, Ollie sleeps next to Rose. Rose sits up in bed. The fabric lies by the door, which hangs slightly ajar. Rose steps toward the door. Hand trembling, she reaches for the knob. A draft pushes the knob away from her. Rose's eyes dart back and forth. She reaches again for the knob and slowly pulls open the door.
Mom? Wallace?
Holding a lamp, Rose steps into the dark hallway. She walks over to the back of the house, where much of the wall has been torn away, revealing broken and splintered wood framing. Chairs sit piled up against the back door. Rose spins around. She inches back down the hall and cautiously re-enters a room. Her face tense, Rose holds the lamp out in front of her as she nears the bed. A baby doll lies on the bed. Rose slowly reaches for the toy. She whips around, spotting Margaret in the corner of the room, wearing her dress backwards. Margaret bumps her head against the wall.
Mom?
Margaret spins around, and the lamp goes out. Rose walks through the darkness toward the exposed wooden framing at the back of the house. She glances over at the back door where the stacked chairs have disappeared. A sliver of light pours in through the now open door. Rose clasps her hands together in front of her stomach. She takes off her mask. Outside, Margaret stands holding the gun in front of Ada's grave.
Mom?
Margaret turns and sees a dark figure standing a few feet away. She aims her gun at them.
You're asleep.
Wallace limps toward her.
It's you. You're sleepwalking again. It's me. It's Rose.
Margaret keeps her shotgun trained on Wallace.
Mom, it's me! Wake up! Don't shoot! It's Rose!
It's your daughter!
Don't shoot.
Put the gun down.
Mommy, I'm really scared.
You have to trust me. You have to wake up.
Not Rose.
Mom! Mama!
Rose sobs as Margaret points the barrel at her neck. Margaret's expression softens as she slowly lowers the shotgun. She looks to her side, confused.
Rose, what are you doing out here?
The gray man isn't haunting us.
What are you talking about?
It's you. You're doing things in your sleep again. That's how the chairs moved and how the bed caught fire.
Margaret keeps her eyes locked on Rose, and she moves closer to her.
You can never say that again about the sleepwalking.
not to anyone. Mom, why are you doing this?
Why? To protect you.
Margaret's eyes glisten with tears.
Then we should have left.
I was trying to keep us all together. You. Me. We, your sisters.
Ada is dead!
Margaret grabs Rose's face tightly.
Don't you understand? You girls are me. Parts of me. Cut away pieces that never heal.
You're scaring me.
I bleed when you're hurt. I'm alive in that grave. Suffocating under the dirt with your sister. And I would do anything.
Anything. To keep us together. To keep us whole.
Rose pulls away and bolts toward the house. Margaret chases after her, and Rose pulls the back door shut behind her. Margaret tries to open it.
Rose!
Margaret runs around to the front of the house. She hurries in through the front door. Margaret strides down the hallway. She looks in her room and finds both beds empty. Margaret sees the front door open. Outside, Rose struggles with Ollie.
Ollie!
Stop. That's not Mommy. She breathed in the gray man.
Okay, she breathed in the gray man.
You are fibbing. Rose tries to pick Ollie up, and Ollie pushes her to the ground. Rose's eyes go wide as she sees the crucifix hanging around Esther's neck.
Esther?
Esther's head appears bloodied and half shot off. Rose recoils in horror. Dust covers the bottom half of Esther's body. Rose puts a hand over her mouth. A dust storm begins to pick up, and a strong gust of wind rips the weather vane off the roof of the barn. Rose gazes up at dark dust clouds blocking out the sky. She looks back toward the house and sees Margaret holding Ollie in her arms.
It's too late! There's nowhere to go, Rose! Let her go! Mom!
Margaret carries Ollie into the house and Rose hurries after them.
That wasn't Wallace! You killed Aunt Esther!
You're hurting her, Rose!
Margaret covers Rose's mouth with her hand and restrains her on the bed.
They will take you. They will take you away, please.
Rose gestures frantically to Ollie to answer the door. Leaving Rose struggling with Margaret, Ollie walks slowly toward the door. A person seen in silhouette through the curtain and door panels knocks. Rose fades as Margaret keeps a hand over her mouth. Ollie braces herself and opens the door to Sheriff Bell, who enters and takes off his hat.
Hi, Sweet Pea. Where's Mama?
Ollie looks down the hallway and Sheriff Bell follows her gaze. In the bedroom, Margaret and Rose sit up on the bed. Rose takes quick, sharp breaths. Margaret's dress is now on correctly. Sheriff Bell steps into the doorway with Ollie. Rose runs to Ollie and throws her arms around her.
Rose, you all right?
Margaret puts a hand on her neck.
She's not fit.
Rose.
Margaret smiles and Sheriff Bell nods.
I know. You two just go wait in there.
Ollie leaves. Rose glances back at her mother, who looks away.
Don't worry. We're gonna have a nice little chat, all right?
Sheriff Bell steps into the room.
I don't know what's gotten into her.
Bell inspects Margaret's shotgun.
For the coyotes.
He takes out the remaining shell.
You had one recently?
They're always around.
She smiles. Bell takes the remaining shell and paces across the room.
Did Esther come by? Margaret, she said she's gonna check in.
I hope she wasn't lost in the storm.
Margaret, the girls seem rattled.
Margaret shakes her head.
Stir crazy, I guess.
She flashes him a toothy grin.
Maybe I ought to take him. Still, Henry gets back.
Tears form in Margaret's eyes. She starts to sob and turns away.
Hey, now, hey. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey, hey.
Belle puts a hand on her shoulder.
Hey, Margaret, it's just a few days now. Just a few days. You done good. You done real good.
Margaret stabs him in the gut with the knife. She rises as Belle looks down at the blood staining his shirt. He reaches for his gun holster, and Margaret digs the knife through his hand. Belle gapes, and Margaret's lower lip trembles. Belle stumbles into the hallway. Horrified, Rose puts a hand over Ollie's eyes. Sheriff Belle pulls the blade out of his hand. He takes a step forward and falls to the floor. Rose tries to escape through the front door, but the swirling dust storm blows her and Ollie back inside. Belle tries to pull himself across the floor, then goes limp. Rose keeps a tight grip on her sister. Ollie and Rose's legs walk past Belle's motionless body. Rose signs to Ollie, "Stay here, don't look."
Don't look.
Rose's feet stop in front of the knife lying on the wooden floor. She picks it up. Holding it behind her back, she walks toward her mother's room. She stops and eyes her sister standing alone in the dark hallway. In the bedroom, Margaret sits at her vanity, holding her head in her hands.
They're going to hang me, Rose. But there is a way around it. A way to stay together. A reunion that lasts an eternity. We just go to sleep, like any other night, but longer.
Please.
Margaret lifts her gaze to a reflection in the mirror.
Yes, baby. It's the only way. It's okay to be scared. It's okay. Come here. Come here.
Margaret reaches out to Rose. Tightly clutching the knife behind her back, Rose places a hand on her mother's chest.
Oh. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry for everything, Rose. You're the loves of my life. You know that?
Rose shuts her teary eyes, and Margaret kisses her hand. Rose's other hand trembles as it holds the knife. She sways back and forth with her eyes closed, then leans forward and sobs into the top of her mother's head.
I'm so tired, Mommy. Let's go be with Ada. All right?
Margaret suddenly snaps to attention as she notices something in the mirror. Rose looks into the mirror and spots Ollie standing behind her in the doorway. Rose lets the knife fall from her hand onto the floor. Margaret smiles.
Can you tell us about the wait first?
Yes.
Margaret opens her pill bottle and dumps its contents onto the vanity.
Our first year, it just took hold. The field was chest high. And when the wind blew, the wheat would ripple and wave like the ocean. We play in that field for hours. All together.
Could we have the medicine and some peaches?
Margaret crushes her sleeping pills with the bottle. She turns to her daughters sitting on the bed.
I think that's a wonderful idea.
Margaret smiles and Rose clutches Ollie tightly. Outside, dark clouds of dust blow past Margaret's barely visible house. Inside, white powder sits at the bottom of the pill bottle. Margaret mixes a bowl of mashed peaches with a spoon. She wears a peaceful smile as she gazes down at the bowl. Margaret runs.
She has to be with us. She could be drowning.
Margaret uncoils the rope wrapped around the doorknob and heads out.
Please!
Holding one end of the rope, Margaret steps out into the all-encompassing dark storm. She shields her face from the fierce winds as she presses forward. On the porch, the rope tugs on the doorknob. The wind blows the other end of the rope stretching out into the storm. Rose steps onto the porch and tentatively places a hand on the swaying rope. Using the bloody knife, she begins cutting the rope. Crying, Rose moves the knife back and forth until the rope snaps. Rose holds the severed piece of rope, still held by Margaret, at the other end. She stares out into the storm, sobbing. Rose releases the rope and the storm rips it away. In the storm, Margaret looks down at the rope in her hands. She stares back into the dense clouds of dust. Margaret starts pulling the loose rope toward her. On the porch, Rose covers her mouth and sobs. Margaret stares in disbelief at the severed end of the rope. She lifts her gaze as the swirling dust surrounds her. She moves aimlessly through the dust storm. In the house, Rose opens the wardrobe door, revealing Ollie hiding inside. In the storm, Margaret drops to all fours. Ollie steps out of the closet and into her sister's arms. In the storm, Margaret gasps for air. The storm vanishes, and tall wheat stems sway in the breeze in a green field. From behind, Margaret stands. The wheat brushes past Margaret as she walks. In a clearing on the other side of the wheat, three blurry children in white dresses play together. Margaret beams and covers her mouth with her hand. In the storm, Margaret lies on her side. Dust blows past her face as she stares off. Margaret vanishes inside the swirling dust. Little by little, the dust begins to clear, giving way to a sprawling field of wheat passing by from onboard a moving vehicle. Rose and Ollie sit in a train boxcar with an open door gazing out at the open expanse and clear skies stretching out in front of them. Rose stares off into the distance. Ollie taps her and signs.
What?
Green. The girls watch as the train chugs past horses grazing in a green field. Rose glances over at Ollie and smiles. Rose puts her arm around Ollie, who snuggles up beside her. Rose looks to her side as tiny specks of dust float in the air. Rose turns away, and Ollie looks up at her. Rose gently rubs Ollie's cheek. Frowning, Rose stares ahead. Cut to black, credits appear. The title appears, Hold Your Breath. In memory of Dale Waseda, Mark Gadbury. This film is dedicated to Donald Jesse Joynes. Audio description created by Pixelogic Media, narrated by Darren Polish.